As many as a quarter of federal employees are not entitled to a key civil service protection. That's based on a recent ruling by the Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit. It found those working in sensitive positions cannot appeal personnel issues to the Merit Systems Protection Board. Andres Grajales is the Deputy General Counsel for the American Federation of Government Employees. He represented two Defense Department employees in the lawsuit, and he joins us now in this week's Legal Loop. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Sure. Can you just recap, what are the key facts in this case?
I think the key facts, if not the critical one key fact here, is that the class of positions or cases that we're talking about are not positions that require security clearances and are not positions where there is access to classified information. These are a very different species of position where, although they are maybe designated as sensitive, there's no security clearance here and there is no access to classified information for the employees who hold these positions.
So these people were not sitting at the elbow of General Alexander going over reports from the PRISM program?
Not by a long shot.
What did they do?
Well, in this case, Mr. Northover, who's one of the employees, was in essence a grocery store clerk. So what he did was keep commissary store shelves stocked, and I believe he was also responsible for putting out signs for the specials on occasion. Ms. Conyers was an accounting technician, and what she did was handle or process payments to could be civilians or could be military, could be any type of payments, could be retirement checks, but she didn't handle any type of classified information. Both of these employees were what we would call in the government lower graded employees, somewhere around the GS-5 on the GS schedule, which is a pay schedule. So these were not, something similar to an intelligence analyst or something of that nature at all.
So do you know or do you suspect that the reason why they were deemed to have sensitive, although non-critical sensitive positions was simply because they work for the Defense Department?
To a very great extent, that is probably fairly accurate. We do know that with respect to Ms. Conyers, she worked for the Defense Finance and Accounting Service, and they created a record when they designated her position as sensitive, and we know exactly why they did, and it was not for national security reasons, because they had the opportunity when they created that record to specify that it was for national security reasons, and that is not why they designated her position as sensitive. They designated it as sensitive because she had access to personally identifiable information, and that could be birth dates or social security numbers, very much like a huge swath of federal employees. It was not for any connection, if we can believe anything that DFAS told us, to national security. With respect to Mr. Northover, that's another interesting story. It's not very clear why they designated his position as sensitive, but the agency or the component that he worked for flip-flopped a few times and designating that position as sensitive and then going back on that and saying, no, actually, we've looked at it again. We don't think it's sensitive. So it's not very clear at all why they designated his position as sensitive in the first instance. It does seem that they designated it as non-sensitive just based merely on the fact that we happen to be in litigation, which, again, I don't see how we can connect that at all with national security.
We're speaking with Andres Grajales, the AFGE's Deputy General Counsel. So from what you're saying, it sounds as if the same events had happened and those employees worked outside of DOD, suppose they were in, I don't know, the Labor Department, then they would have been protected.
Well, no. I think what the court is saying here, this decision by the court goes well beyond DOD, and I think it goes well beyond whistleblowers. I mean, surely it's difficult to see from what the court has or what the majority has done how this decision will not have a chilling effect on whistleblowers.
So if anyone has access to what they are calling sensitive information, that is the most basic kind of PII or, you know, personally identifiable, then that takes a whole huge number of people now presumably protected by the new law out of that protection and puts them into the same category as these two.
What it does is give agencies, in essence, a weapon that they never had before. On the one hand, agencies historically have complete discretion to designate a position as sensitive. Now the court has said not only do they have the power to designate a position as sensitive, they also have the power, when they do that, to unilaterally restrict an employee's scope of review in an adverse action appeal. Their appeal rights have been contracted by this decision.
So does an employee who thinks that they perhaps are labeled as a non-critical sensitive position, but they don't think that it really is that sensitive, do they have any grounds to appeal, and to whom do they appeal that?
They do not. The designation of a position, there's an earlier case, again, by the same court, by the Federal Circuit, that says agencies have discretion to designate positions however they wish. So an agency has the ability to designate a position as a national security, as a sensitive position, and that decision will be unreviewable. And we look at the facts of Conyers. She was designated as national security as a sensitive position, and the agency that did it conceded in its own paperwork that it wasn't doing that for national security reasons. So those employees, if they disagree with an agency's designation of the position, are very much out of luck. And then if for any reason the agency goes forward and deprives that employee of eligibility to hold that position, which could be for any variety of reasons, they now, for the first time, also lack the full scope of appeal rights that they would have had.
Can a person legally challenge that designation with the understanding, of course, that extends the whole litigation process indefinitely?
No, that's just it, and that's what makes this decision by the court both so broad and so insidious, is that an employee who's faced with this type of designation can't challenge the designation, and then if they're after being designated rightly or wrongly as sensitive, if they lose that eligibility, they also can't challenge the basis on which they lost the eligibility. And so it's created, in essence, a fast track out the door for agencies to use. And so it's again, as I said before, this goes beyond whistleblowers. This is something that could have a truly substantial and negative impact on the bulk of the federal workforce.
And you're obviously disappointed. Do you plan to appeal? I mean, what's next in this particular case?
Well, nothing is certain, but I think it's likely at this juncture that we will seek Supreme Court review. Now, obviously, no one can say whether the Supreme Court would grant such review, but that is certainly a strong possibility that we will continue to seek further review before the Supreme Court.
All right. Andres Grajales is AFGE's Deputy General Counsel. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.